I want to invite your attention today to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 8 will be our starting point. And we are going to... The subject is, of course, spiritual gifts. The overall subject for the year is biblical worldview. I did not tell you just a moment ago, if you'll look at your bulletin, I said, if you're visiting, please fill out a guest card, but I didn't elaborate on that. But if you'll notice in your bulletin, on the lower left-hand corner, this, I think the technical term is this little thingy. You can scan this little thingy, and it will take you directly to the website and let you fill out a guest card information if you'd rather do that on your phone. And I would encourage you to certainly do so. But right now, I would encourage you to open your Bibles, because we want to hear from God. If we're going to have a biblical worldview, we're going to have to know how God thinks about things. And so this message today is entitled, Love Never Fails. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Verse 8, it says, Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, and love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we bow to you. You are God, there is none other. Lord, we pray to hear from you today, that you would open your word to our understanding. Open our hearts to your word, Lord. Father, you know the need of every individual present in this service today. You know those who have not trusted you as their Savior. I pray today will be the day that they come to know you in salvation. You know the ones that are struggling, Lord, with just the circumstances of life. I pray for their comfort. You know every need, Lord. And I pray that you'll put it in our hearts, answer those needs, and give us the heart to respond to your leading. We pray your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. All right. Love never fails. And we're going to start out here this morning with an understanding of that statement. That verse 8, that short little statement when it says, love never fails. Understand, first of all, and I told you this last week, but I'll tell you this again, that's the love never fails. It's the way the Greek reads. The love never fails. It is an eternal spiritual gift. That's what that means, right? And understand, we're not talking about a love that can be produced. We're not talking about a love that you can accomplish yourself. We're talking about a love that is a supernatural, life-changing, spiritual gift of God that can be found nowhere else. And this love is beyond your human ability. Okay? If you could ask, but it's so important that if you could ask for just one thing, if in your prayer today, if you are a child of God and God said, my son, ask me whatever you will. You know, he did Solomon that way, didn't he? You remember? Solomon asked for wisdom. If you could ask God for one thing, I believe that one thing for your benefit, the benefit of your family and friends, and even the benefit of this church, that one thing would be, God, give me that love that Paul is talking about here. And you say, well, Brother Doug, you know, how do we get that love? If you're a child of God, you have it. Romans chapter 5, verse 5 says that God has poured His love into us or into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Our problem is we've allowed that love to be quenched. You know, the Bible says, quench not the Holy Spirit. We don't really stop and think about what it's saying. But I want to ask you, what quenches that love? The circumstances of life, the battles of this life, the bitterness that has developed over time, everything, you know, this world, Satan does everything he can possibly do to get in the way of the love. You want to change somebody's life? It will be because of the love. You want to be a successful soul winner? It will be because of the love. So it's there. What do you have to do? Well, we go back up to the verse 31 in chapter 12 that you earnestly desire this gift. As I said, if you could ask God for anything, this would be it. This is the highest, best gift that God could possibly give you. Earnestly desire. Set your heart on, have a zeal for, have a passion for, a desire that nothing else will quench. Lord, if there's one thing I could have, I want the love. A God-given, passionate love for God as well as those around me. Brother Doug, why is it so important? Because it's never failing. And you have to understand what that phrase means, never failing. That word fail, it means to come to an end or to be abolished, to be done away with. Do you realize this is the only spiritual gift that is eternal? The love is the only spiritual gift that will last forever. You know, when you get to heaven, and the last verse 13 says, now abide faith, hope, and love. So we're gonna use these for the example. But you know, when you get to heaven, there will be no faith. Brother Doug, why? You're gonna be with Jesus. You don't have to trust Him by faith. You're gonna live in His presence. You don't need faith when you get to heaven. Now you need it now. You need it now. But when you get to heaven, there will be no faith. We're just going to know the joy of Jesus, right? When you get to heaven, there will be no hope. Now, I don't mean hope as in no hope in a distressing or depressing way. I mean, when you get to heaven, you are continually going to be living the best life that you can possibly live. Our hope is for the return of Jesus Christ, correct? Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again to receive you to myself. Praise God. We look forward to that day when the trumpet sounds and Jesus steps out and we hear that cry from heaven, come up here, and we go to meet Jesus in the air. That's our hope. That's our joy, our glory, our future. But in heaven, we will live in that joy. We will live continually. No tears, no sorrow, no sickness, no death. Every day will be the best day ever. I guess that's not the right statement because there will be no days as in time in heaven, will there? But I don't know how else to express it. Any given moment in eternity, you'll be living the best that you could possibly live as a child of God. But what there will always be in heaven is that God love. That's what Paul means when he says love never fails or is never failing. It will never fail. It has never failed. And it's good for the present, past, and future. Even in heaven, you're going to love with this God-given love. I don't know about you. I want it now. Would you like to have that love now? It's a gift. It is a spiritual gift. I believe that already, if you're a child of God, it dwells within you. I believe you have to desire. I don't believe you can fabricate it, but I do think that you can earnestly desire and focus upon that. And instead of focusing upon every bad circumstance and what's wrong in the world, you focus upon loving God and loving people, I promise you it'll come out. It'll be there. It's eternal. But there are gifts that are temporary. Yeah. Temporary meaning only for a certain period of time. And you have to understand that statement that the spiritual gifts were temporary, or some spiritual gifts were temporary. You have to understand the purpose of spiritual gifts. You see, spiritual gifts were not given for the benefit of the person that possessed that gift. For example, someone was giving the gift of healing. Do you ever notice they always use that gift on somebody else? If it was for the individual that held that gift, the Apostle Paul would have never had the thorn in the flesh. He could have healed himself. The Apostle Paul would have never told Timothy, "Timothy, take a little wine for your stomach's sake. I know you're sick, you're stressed out. Take a little wine for your stomach's sake." Paul could have just said, "Boom, Timothy, you're healed." But he didn't. Why? Because those gifts were not for them. Those gifts were to validate that they were men of God with the message of God. That's why they had those gifts, right? Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Now stay with me, okay? Hebrews 2, 3 and 4. It says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard Him?" Then verse 4 says, "God bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to His own will." Okay, modern day interpretation. God gave these men supernatural power so that when people heard their message and saw the miraculous things they did, they backed up and said, "Wow, these guys had to be from God, because they could not have done that those things otherwise." God was just verifying and validating them. Who they were and their message as being men of God. That's what the gifts were for. Now, Paul said, where there's prophecy, it will fail. You hear people today call themselves a prophet. They are not a prophet. Okay? That does not exist anymore. See, a prophet was a man who spoke the message of God that he had received directly from God, and the only way the people would know that message is by God going through that individual and him relaying the message to others. And most of the time it was futuristic. For example, the book of Revelation and the Apostle John. Okay? But that gift has been done away. Now you need to know this, because you're going to be challenged, right? You're going to be challenged. It says where there are prophecies, they will fail. That word fail means to be abolished. So literally it says where there are prophecies, they will be abolished. It goes on, where there are tongues, it will cease. Now, first of all, you have to understand what tongues are. Tongues were languages. Tongues were not gibberish of people just throwing sounds and utterances out there. It was designed for people to speak a language that they had not been trained in, so that the hearer could hear the message of the gospel. Right? And when people would see these people that they knew were not trained in their language, but they were hearing in their language, they knew that these men had to be from God, because there was no other way it could happen. But here, Paul says, where there are tongues, it'll cease. Where there's knowledge, it will vanish away. You know, knowledge was a spiritual gift. It was. Now, we're not talking about just somebody smart. We're talking about a God-given knowledge, a gift of God, of knowing God like nobody else does. Well, Paul, he would be a great example. Paul knew God in ways that none other did. He had the gift of knowledge. He saw heaven before he died. Remember, he said, I was called up into the third heaven. He knew things about God that you and I haven't even begun to think of yet. But he said, where there's knowledge, it will vanish away. It's translated different, but they use the same word. It means to abolish or to be done away with, right? When it says they will fail, they will cease, they will vanish, it's just the same Greek word, right? What about the other spiritual gifts? Look and I did not put this up in the Media Shout presentation, so I'm just going to read it to you. But in this same chapter, or in chapter 12, verse 28, it talks about other spiritual gifts. It says, and God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of hearings and helps, of healings and helps, and administration and variety of tongues. Oh, there were a lot of gifts. What were they for? They were to identify these people as being men of God, having the message of God. Do we have these gifts anymore? No, we do not. Stay with me. Okay? You mean we don't have the spiritual gift of teaching? No, not in the not in this sense. Now, there are gifted teachers out there, gifted pastors, and I understand. But when we talk about spiritual gifts, we are talking about supernatural, miraculous things that can only come from God, where people step back and say, wow, that's got to be from God. Because that's beyond man's capability. That's the idea with spiritual gifts. And the reason I say we no longer have those, read verse 13 with me if you will. Paul said, now abide faith, hope, and love. Brother Doug, you mean that's the only spiritual gifts you believe in? I believe that with all my heart. That's the only spiritual gifts that are left. That is the only spiritual gifts that we need today. Now, I'm not saying God doesn't gift people with special talents. I'm not. But in the scope of spiritual gifts, no. I believe now abides faith, hope, and love. You mean, Brother Doug, you don't believe in miracles? Well, I didn't say that. Whoa, back up. That's not what I said. I'll tell you what I believe. I believe in God. I believe the God that spoke this universe into existence is still God. I believe this God can heal the sick, give sight to the blind, and cause the lame to walk. I believe that this God that we believe in, He can take that diagnosis from the doctor that says there's no hope, and He can have that same individual walking out of the hospital. I believe that God has the power to do anything He wants to do. Period. He has that power. He just doesn't entrust that power to men today because it's not needed. You say, well, Brother Doug, what do we do? We pray. We pray. If somebody's sick, we pray. And we lift them up before the God that heals. Isn't it Jehovah Jireh, the God who heals? Do you believe God heals? Come on, you can believe better than that. Do you believe God heals? Absolutely. If you don't believe God heals, don't ask me to pray for you when you're sick. Right? Do you believe that God can move mountains? Absolutely. What I want you to understand that today we have just as much power in God as we have ever had. We just do not have the power within ourselves. That's why we've been given these gifts of faith and hope and love. And now, when we have a need, we have a God who cares, and we take these needs boldly before the throne of grace. Matthew chapter 7 verse 7 says, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, what? They receive. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. That's the God that we serve today. There's nothing he cannot do. Never sell God short. Just don't trust man to get things done. Does it make sense? Oh, I believe God answers prayer. I believe prayer changes things. And I believe sometimes His answers are miraculous. But I don't need you, I don't believe you need some TV evangelist to slap you in the head and knock you to the floor to heal your body. So, Brother Doug, why were the gifts abolished? Why were they taken away? Well, I'm glad you asked, because they were no longer needed. They were no longer needed. In our text, Paul wrote, when that which is perfect has come, that which is in part will be done away. Two definitions. The perfect. That word means complete. The in part, that word means partial. So you have two things here. You have something that's not complete, and they were depending on the partial. Okay? What was the partial? The partial were spiritual gifts. Right? You see, through spiritual gifts, they only had bits and pieces of the knowledge of God. They only had what an apostle or a prophet would tell them about God. That was their only reference to God. However, Paul said, this is partial information. But there's coming a day when complete information, or that which is perfect, is come. So what is that which is going to be completed? I'm glad you asked. Because if you really grasp this truth, it will change your life. Are you ready? Are you ready? Come on. If you truly grasp this truth, it will change your life. When that which is complete comes, that which is in part will be done away. You'll no longer depend on those partial gifts when the completed has come. What is the completed? You got it. The Word of God. Why don't you need a prophet today? Because we have it. We know how this is going to end. Jesus is coming back. We have the book of Revelation. We have books like Daniel and Ezekiel that talk about the end times and what lies ahead. We know. We don't need prophets. We don't need healers. Why? Because we're told in the book of James, is any sick among you? Call for the elders, let them lay hands on them and pray for them. Yeah, we have the Word. You want to know God? This is where you know God. I think people sit around all too often and I want to hear from God. I want to hear from God. My goodness, He's given us a pretty big book. And when you read, you don't read this, and now abide faith, hope, and love as a statement of fact. God is talking to you. You need to understand that now you have faith, hope, and love. And that's what's going to carry you through this life. You mean faith is a gift? Absolutely, it's a gift. Hope is a gift? Absolutely, it's a gift. Is love a gift? Absolutely, it's a gift. You read the Bible. I was visiting with a young lady last week. She just blessed my heart. Oh, my goodness. And she talked about she started reading the Bible. And she said, Brother Doug, I've started reading the Bible as though the Bible was talking to me. I was like, yes. Yes. Too many times we just read words. This is not just words. This is God speaking to you insert your name wherever in here and realize this is God communicating to you. It isn't about reading your Bible. It's about hearing from God. When that which is perfect is we have that which is complete. That's why I said it'll change your life. You'll quit reading the Bible and you'll look at it from the point of view of God, what do you have to say to me? God, I want to hear from you. Speak to me. It'll change your life. If I could get you to understand, and I pray that we all understand, there is one thing that you need to know about spiritual gifts, and that is that you have everything you need in the category of spiritual gifts. You do. Faith, hope, and love is enough. That's what's going to remain. I'm going to leave you with this thought. You know, in the past, and I just shared with you, spiritual gifts were the identification of those men of the Bible that they were who they said they were. Does that statement make sense to you? If it makes sense, shake your head yes. It was like the name tag. You know, it was like putting a name tag on them saying, okay, I'm from God. Right? That's what spiritual gifts were. You know what our identification today is? John chapter 13, verse 35. This is so cool. Jesus told His disciples, let's all read this together. By this, all will know that you are My disciples, if you have love for one another. Let's read that again. By this, all will know that you are My disciples, if you have love for one another. Now you know it, let's read it loud. By this, all will know that you are My disciples if you have love for one another. What is the most important spiritual gift, the most vital gift that I said that you need? It is love. You want the world to see Jesus? You need love. I've heard people, and I don't even know where I heard this example, but I heard this example. If you were put on trial for being a believer in Jesus Christ, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Have you ever heard that? I think we've all heard that sometime or another. Well, that's kind of a broad statement. If you were put on trial for being a believer, would there be enough evidence of love to convict you? You know, I've heard a lot of things about a lot of churches through the course of ministry. I've heard people say, I don't go to that church because, and you fill in the blank. That church does this, or that church doesn't like people, or I went to that church and nobody spoke to me, and I, you know, you just fill in the blank with whatever. You know what I've never heard anybody say? I don't go to that church because they're too loving. I've never heard that. And if I did, I'd probably have to sit down a few minutes and collect myself. Today, I leave you with this. We have all we need, spiritual gifts. Yes, I believe God can do anything, and He's a miraculous God. He can part waters. But I want you to understand what we have is faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. And I ask you, Can people tell that you're, can people identify that you are a believer based upon the way that you love? If not, folks, I think we should change our desires. I think our desires should be, Lord, give me that love. Give me that love. And you may be here today and you don't quite understand what I'm talking about in this love because you're not a child of God. You've never given your life to Jesus Christ. See, what you need to do is you need to experience that love. It's funny, when you talk to believers, they'll tell you about their salvation experience and they'll talk about the peace that just overflowed and how much it was like a burden being lifted, you know. And how they felt the love of God. And they can't really explain it. They just know it happened. And if you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, I'll tell you this. You can ask for proof, and I can't prove it, you know, from a scholarly standpoint. Well, what I can tell you is life without Jesus does not work. People don't understand why their life's falling apart. Where's Jesus fit into your life? But life with Jesus always works. It may get hard at times, but I can tell you this, He'll never leave you. He'll carry you through when you think, I can't do this. And there will be times in life you think, I can't do this. He'll carry you through. What do you have to do to be saved? I'm glad you asked, because what you have to do is call upon the name of the Lord. The Bible says whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. See, we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who went to the cross of Calvary and He died. He was crucified to pay our sin debt. Did that for me. Why? Because He loved me. And He says that if we'll believe in Him, if we'll call upon Jesus, asking for salvation, knowing that He is the Son of God who died and rose from the grave, if we will call upon Him, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. Are you saved? If not, this invitation's for you. If you are saved and you don't have the love, this invitation's for you. Let's, as a church, make it a point that the most important thing we can do is develop a passion, a earnest desire for love. And now let's pray God's will be done. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the day. Oh, we thank You for Your Word. Father, help us to love better than we have ever loved before as a church. Help us to have that agape love that loves even our enemies. Help us to love. Help us, Lord, to realize the love that You have poured into us by giving Your Son, Jesus Christ, as the sacrifice for our sins. Now in this invitation, Heavenly Father, we pray Your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.